Amen.
Please turn once again in the Bible, now to the middle of it. It's Psalm 29. Psalm 29, part of the writings. You can find Psalm 29 on page 461. And before I read, I just want to give credit to somebody. I've only ever heard one sermon on this passage. It was from Pastor Andrew Shepp at White Lake Family Camp. Really an excellent sermon. I don't know if it affects this sermon or not, but it might. So I'm giving him some credit. So Andrew Shepp, Family Camp, preached on the Psalms, particularly on Psalm 29. Let's turn now our attention to God's Word once again, Psalm 29. Let's give your attention. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Now, for a long time as a young Christian growing up, I was a little frustrated by the phrase, hallowed be your name. Right there in the Lord's Prayer, we'll pray it at the end of the service. Hallowed be your name. And I say, okay, reverence God, make your name respected and reverenced. Okay, I got that. But obviously, I'm also involved in that as I pray it. I'm not just to say, God, you do it, well, I do the opposite. Obviously, if I'm praying for God to hallow his name, I'm also praying and help me be part of that. Help me also to hallow your name. So then that brings the question back. How can I hallow God's name? And Psalm 29 shows us one way of doing this. One way to hallow God's name, not just in church, but in life. How to hallow God's name in the storm. It says, ascribe to the Lord. Write it to him. That is, say he has it. Give him the credit for it. My kids go to elementary school and there are talent shows and the MC says, give it up for our next performer. And that means applaud. And that's what this means. Okay, give it up to the Lord. Give him the respect due his name. That's what ascribe means. It's a more fancy way of saying give it up to. Give him the credit that is due to him. And he says, ascribe to the Lord, not to Baal, not to Allah, not to Buddha, not to the ancestors. Ascribe to the Lord. There's an edge in this song. There's an edge, and it comes through when this Israelite poem talks about Lebanon a lot in the context of a thunderstorm. Because that's what you're talking about here. This is about a thunderstorm. Now, up in Lebanon, you had a very powerful and wealthy bunch of people called the Sidonians, and they had a really popular head god named Baal. And the Israelites were often being tempted to, or even forced by the queen, to worship Baal. And the idea of Baal in Canaanite religion was that there were still lots of gods, but Baal was the head guy. And he was the storm god. He would ride on the clouds and bring you the rain that you need to live. Also pictured as a god of war. And in the pictures that archaeologists can dig up, all right, in the iconography of Baal, he's pictured holding a thunderbolt. Kind of like Zeus, you might say. And in a dry climate where if it doesn't rain, you may starve. You need rain. And the Israelites go in and they've been commanded to have no other gods before the Lord. The peoples all around them, they say, well, we worship Baal, and Baal gives us the rain. Ascribe to Baal the life-giving rain. And so David says, no, ascribe to the Lord and not to Baal. You might think of Elijah. That's the most famous confrontation between one prophet of the Lord and 400 prophets of Baal. And you can see now why Elijah said, well, why don't we set out two oxen, kill them, lay them out for sacrifice, but don't let them on fire. Let's see what God can light them on fire. Right? Baal is the god of thunder and lightning. Bring it. You see why that's an appropriate challenge for Baal. He's saying, let's test Baal in his area of expertise. He's a specialist in this lightning thing. Let's see if he can do it. Now, the Lord has defeated Baal now. All around the world, people are worshiping the Lord. I don't know where I would go if I wanted to go worship Baal. But that doesn't mean that we're done with the confrontation here. Because you are tempted. You are told. You're told that Mother Nature is angry. You are told to ascribe to Mother Nature the snow and the cold and the heat. And so the psalm says to us, wrong, ascribe to the Lord. And let everybody ascribe to the Lord. Who should do it? He starts at the top with, O heavenly beings, it's you sons of the gods. Now, when Israelite would say that, he might mean angels. Angels, praise the Lord. But when a Canaanite would say that, he meant all you other gods that we think are out there. The rest of the pantheon. Let's praise Baal because he is the chief god. And so you see that edge to it. Who is the great god? Is it Baal, the god of the thunderstorm? Or is it the Lord? He says, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. You know, there are places where it says, ascribe to the Lord mercy and compassion. This psalm focuses on his strength. And you can see why. First of all, the question is, who's stronger, Baal or the Lord God of Israel? But secondly, for you, who is the Lord? Is he a kindly older gentleman who really means you well, but doesn't actually have the power to deliver you? Well, that might be a nice God to appeal to, like a grandpa, but he's not actually the decision maker, if he doesn't have the strength to back up his decrees. So this begins and it says, let's focus on God's strength. It's because he has strength that he is to be feared. It's because he has strength that his mercy can mean something. He can have compassion and have it reach us because of the power that he brings to it. But it's not just a powerful God. We describe to him glory. The glory to his name. We're to worship him in holiness. Because in the Lord God, we do not simply see power, we see goodness. We see purity. We see holiness. Which is why the way to worship him is ourselves dressed, you could say, in holiness. Do you know that holiness is splendid? You know, there is a certain power and glory to purity. So he speaks of the splendor of holiness. This is how to worship the Lord. He says, give the Lord the glory due to him for his strength and his power and his holiness. And if anyone doubts that power, let's think about listening to the Lord's voice in the storm. We come now to verses 3 to 9. And here you have a vivid description of a thunderstorm. The Jewish commentator that I have said it's like a symphony with sound effects. It says, the voice of the Lord, 7 times. And it comes a couple times in a row, and then a pause, and then another one. It's like the thunder. I tried to read it that way. I think the voice of the Lord is to invoke, make you think of the thunder. And say, yes, there's God speaking to you of his majesty and his power in thunder. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. If you're in Israel, or if you're in Lebanon, right above Israel, right? Most of your weather is going to come to you, most of your storms are going to come to you over the Mediterranean Sea. Right? So you can imagine yourself, you're in the hills of Israel or maybe in the hills of Lebanon. Okay, up, starting to get up a bit, and you can see down to the coast. That's how it works over there. And there's the Mediterranean, and you can see the storm coming at you. As with Elijah's servant. When Elijah sent his servant, he's praying for rain. He says, go look towards the sea. Is there a cloud? Finally, the servant says, I see a cloud coming up. That's where they get the rain from. Clouds are coming over the waters towards the land. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Here comes the storm. Look at the thunder. See the majesty and the power. It's the Lord's voice. That's a good thing, because this is going to be intense. And the storm breaks over them. Here in the hills of northern Israel. Or maybe a little bit farther north. In the hills of Lebanon. What's happening? You know, we are incredibly rich with trees around here. A lot of places in the world do not have our wealth of trees. They had trees. The best tree they knew about was the cedars. And it was Lebanon that had the best cedars, the best trees. And because they had the best trees, they made good use of them up in Lebanon. They took those trees and they made the best ships out of the trees. Then their sailors could become the best sailors sailing safely in the best ships. Then the Sidonians, that's the people in the area of Tyre and Sidon, they could become the richest merchants. And then they could become arrogant and proud and praise their god Baal and export their wealth and their power. If you want to be a somebody, you probably worship Baal. Look how rich these Sidonians have become sailing with the wood of those mighty cedar trees. David says, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord makes Syrian skip. Think about it. The thunder comes and you jump. And the thunder comes, it's close enough, the ground quakes. It's saying, yes, even these mighty mountains, which are pretty impressive when you look at them, but they're jumping. They shake in the thunder. And Syrian turns out to be the Sidonian term for Mount Hermon, the biggest mountain in northern Israel. Okay, so he's talking about that mountain that they probably fight over. Okay, this great mountain, our biggest mountain, before the voice of the Lord, it skips like an ox. He says, don't forget the lightning. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. You have the thunder there and the lightning. You can imagine how in a dry climate, lightning can get you wildfires going. And then the storm passes over your head, over the hills, off into the desert. It shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Could mean the holy wilderness. The storm has passed on, but we see the effects. There are terrified deer startled into labor. You have forests that you couldn't see through. But now the leaves are down, branches are down, trees are down. Now you can see through it. It's stripped bare. There's a place up here where you're getting close to Fort Washington State Park. And you turn off of Bethlehem Pike, you make the left turn onto Route 73, and there's an area there where I remember just a few years ago, you couldn't see very far. It was full of trees, and now they're all down because of the tornado a few years ago. It's all stripped bare. You say, whoa, I can look straight over towards the park. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. The tornado came, and it ripped the trees down. You know, the psalmist here encourages us, when you are in a storm, don't be so dull-witted as to be a cold, secular person. There's a really intense interaction between the high pressure and the low pressure. That is technically true. It does not exhaust the truth of what is going on. That is a piece of it, yes, worth knowing. But the voice of the Lord is shaking the things that seem high and powerful. The voice of the Lord can shake all these things that seem so strong to us. Cedars of Lebanon, mountains of Israel. And he's saying, and don't be a pagan. Don't ascribe it to Mother Nature or to Baal. Ascribe to the Lord. Now, so far I've been giving you could say, a physical interpretation. It's about a thunderstorm. Let's picture the thunderstorm. Let's see the Lord functioning in that thunderstorm. As we've talked about in Sunday school today, Jesus said there's a lot of things in Psalms that are about Him that have to be fulfilled. And as we look at a psalm that talks about the voice of the Lord, we've got to remember that Jesus is the Word of God. He's himself the Word. And words are spoken by voices. In fact, there are times where in the Old Testament you have the name of God, Yahweh. And in the New Testament, when it quotes it, it applies that to Jesus. It says that where Yahweh, what Yahweh was supposed to do, Jesus did. Which blows up the Jehovah's Witness whole point. Okay, that's just gone right there. Okay. So we got to read it again. And apply it not just in the physical realm. Although, let's keep that real. All right? The voice of the Lord, it shakes the forest. Yes. Yes, indeed. But let's look at it again with Jesus as the voice of the Lord. Because we're told that to Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, whether it's in heaven or on earth. And here we have the heavenly beings told to ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. And so you see in the book of Revelation, not the elders only, but also the angels worshiping the Lamb, praising Jesus Christ. You see then that the kings will bring their glory to Jesus, that an innumerable multitude will glorify him as he clothes us in holy garments, as he clothes us so that we can worship him in the splendor of holiness. We read about his voice over the waters. Again, in the book of Revelation, the waters represent the nations, all the Gentile nations. And so here we are, mostly from Gentile nations, and his voice is over us. He has called us to believe in him. His voice did not just go out to calm the storm. It did that. That was important. No power in the physical world means not much power. But his voice also called Lazarus out of a tomb. His voice stilled the hands one time of the guards sent to arrest him before his time. And now his voice has gone out over all the world through the apostles, some of whom were called sons of thunder. The apostles have thundered, and the church is established, and it cannot be erased, though the governments hate it. The church, the voice of the Lord has gone out over many waters as Jesus frees people everywhere from their spiritual chains. His voice has broken cedars that it has brought down haughty and proud people. I am old enough to remember in the 1980s when the world had two superpowers. There was the United States and there was the Soviet Union. And we were locked in a mercifully cold war. Cold. We weren't shooting right at each other. We gave guns to other people to shoot at each other for us. But all right, we never fought the Soviets head to head, thank God. But we knew that was the war. And I remember my father, who was a preacher, saying the Soviet Union defies God. And the Soviet Union's going to fall. And I said, yeah, in 100 years. And then it fell in 5. And while they're certain all the people are still there, that country's gone. Those people are gone. That Communist Party of the Soviet Union is no more. The voice of the Lord broke the cedars within our own memory. The voice of the Lord then broke Saul, the persecutor, and made him spread the church he tried to destroy. The voice of the Lord broke the Roman government, brought Constantine at length to support the church. And Jesus has poured out his spirit like flames of fire, it appeared, on each of the apostles. You see that there, right? The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. And that's what they saw. The Holy Spirit descending on them and looking like a flame on each of their heads as the place where they sat was shaken. His word strips the forests bare. Because we try to hide many things, but his word is living and active and discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart so that no one is hidden from his sight. And the voice of the Lord, mighty in the physical realm, think of the thunder, and mighty in the spiritual realm, because Jesus is the word from the Father. Where can we be safe from this thunder? If you haven't been outside in a thunderstorm that's close, then I kind of hope that you are, so you can be reminded of how it is. Thunderstorms are really cool as long as they're, you know, like a mile away. But that's cool. I've been out running in thunderstorms, and it was pretty cool. All right? I heard there was a tornado going over a bridge. I was like, that's cool. I was miles away. It was just windy. That was fun. You know what would not have been fun? Yeah. Once it cracks right over your head. That's awesome. So Martin Luther, very famously, was out in a thunderstorm. He was a law student. His dad wanted him to be a lawyer. He's caught in a thunderstorm. And he cries out, "Saint Anne, help me, I'll become a monk." And unlike many people, he didn't treat that like garbage. He's like, "Well, I said it." Disappointed his father, went and became a monk. Right. More to that story, obviously. Right. Voice of the Lord, it shakes us. Where can we be safe from it? Look back at the poem. We've been running through, standing on the hills of northern Israel or southern Lebanon. And then suddenly it says, and in his temple in Jerusalem, all cry, "Glory." What a contrast. You have an outside and inside tucked into the psalm. Outside, there's breaking and shaking and flashing and skipping and the forest fire starting and God's power over creation clear, and inside his temple where the priests minister in holy garments, where they make sacrifices for sin, where they proclaim peace with God, there everything says glory. Now that temple's long destroyed. But because the voice of the Lord has been over the waters, over the nations, this temple is now near to you. Because Jesus is present to you today through his preached word. He is the word, so we can be here through his word. And by him, we can draw near to God and know that we are safe from God's storm. In him we have peace with God, because he is the Prince of Peace, as Isaiah said. He came as a light to the hills of northern Israel, as Isaiah said, chapter 9. He's made peace with God by his blood. And he sits enthroned, calling the nations to himself. "Come to me, I will clothe you in white garments so that you can worship in the splendor of holiness and be safe in his temple, crying out, glory." You see the extent of his kingdom there at the end. He sits enthroned over the flood. Over the flood, yes. Over the nations of the world. And you see the length of his kingdom. He sits enthroned as king forever. And so that is why you go to him for the blessings of strength and for peace. So I encourage you today, if you have not yet entered this temple, in which you are safe from the storm, in which you can cry glory, enter today. Enter and come to Jesus Christ. Respond to his voice with faith. Because he is today present to you in mercy. He's present in compassion. When he passed by Moses, he proclaimed his mercy and his compassion. And that mercy and compassion are present to you today. Because we cannot stand in the storm of God's judgment alone. We must be clothed by Christ. We must be forgiven by God. That only happens when we are clothed in Christ. We must be, you might say, encased in the temple, but we are safe from this wrath. So I encourage you all to glorify him in all things. No more of Mother Nature. Glorify him in the heat and in the cold, as well as in the war and in the peace. And go forth today strengthened. After the storm, often there's the most glorious peace. And so it is with the psalm. After the storm of 3 through 9, then there is the quiet prayer. May the Lord give us strength. May the Lord bless his people with peace. A good psalm for the Sabbath. After the stormy week, let us have a day of rest, a day of peace before God. And so go forth strengthened, not because you've been turned in on yourself. There's not enough purity or strength there. Not because you've been turned to a false god like Baal. Not because you crumpled up in the fetal position during a thunderstorm. Go forth strengthened, because you go in the power of God. And give him the glory. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless us with peace, both now and forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. That you give us law. You give us gospel. You give us poems. We thank you that you reveal yourself also in this poem. Pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, Help us, Lord, to ascribe to you the glory that is due your name. And we pray, Lord, that we will worship you as your people. And we pray that you as our God would bless us with peace. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.